Today's shir is Masechet Yevamos Daf Ayin Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph at the fourth line. Vitzruch L'michtav Oral, Vitzruch L'michtav Kol Benecher. The Torah both tells us that an Oral and a Benecher are disqualified from eating the Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Dikas Rechman Oral. Had the Torah only told us that an Oral, someone who didn't have a bris mila, is disqualified, Mishum Damas doesn't have a bris mila. Ava Benecher, someone who's a Benecher, as we learned, and we'll learn Mishnah Snaku Maisov, Love of Shabashmaim, I guess we would call it an Apikiris, Deloy Mos, but he's not intrinsically Mos, there's nothing wrong with him physically, Amaloy, maybe we should think that he's not disqualified. Because Rachmana Kol Benecher, V'shimdein Libo L'Shemayim, as we just described, he doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval Oral, the Libo L'Shemayim, but an Oral that does have the right Kavana. Just unfortunately, he's an Oral Emeloi, we should not disqualify him, that's why it's Tzricha. And as Tosfos points out, why didn't the Gemara ask, as was learned at the end of the previous shir, that we need the words boy, that it says by each of these psukim, to teach us the various halacha, etc. So Taisha says, if that was the only purpose of these psukim, the Torah could have gotten that message across without mentioning these psukim. There must be another, more fundamental explanation why we need these both psukim. Mimenu lomeli, ask the Gemara, the Torah, this is actually going to be something we're going to learn in Daf Ayin Dalet. The Torah uses the word mimenu in the pasuk about Korban Pesach three times. Al-Toychul mimenu no, u'b'oshab, that's one, and the two other times. Why does the Torah have to mention it three times? Answers the Gemara, look at the Rav. In Daf Ayin Dalet, Amitz Hashem, the Gemara is going to teach us what we do with the three mimenus. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Mar. Al-Chad Rav, Amar Yitzchak. Amar, we learned in the previous year, we had a machloikis, Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Kiva. How we know that an oral is not allowed to eat truma? Rebbe Lezer, and it will be mentioned in a moment again, tell it us from Gzeres Shava of Toshu V'Socher. Rebbe Kiva had a different way of knowing that an oral may not eat truma. Einot Tzarech, we don't need to learn it from Toshu V'Socher. Because the pasuk says, "Harei u'aymi ish mizera aron v'utzurua zov b'kachim la yoichel," teaches us l'rabbis es ha'oral. It teaches us an oral may not eat truma. Ask the Gemara, "V'aymi l'rabbis es ha'oinen." Perhaps the pasuk is coming to teach us that someone who rachmal tzlan is an oinen is not allowed to eat truma. Answers the Gemara, "Am Rabbi Yosef Rabchanina, am a kraw v'kol zor." That somebody who's a Zor, who's a Yisrael, may not eat Truma. To teach us, Zaris Amarti Lecha, someone who has the disqualification of being a Zor, may not eat Truma, V'loy Aninus. But Aninus is not a reason to disqualify one from eating Truma. Ask the Gemara, V'eim V'loy Arelis, perhaps use this pasuk to teach us that someone who's an Oral may eat Truma. It's the Gemara, Ksav Ish Ish. We just quoted the pasuk that says Ish Ish, that teaches us that an oral is disqualified. So where we're up to right now is we have two psukim. One is the pasuk of Ish Ish, and one is the pasuk of V'chol Zor, and we're learning the psukim that Ish Ish teaches us that an oral is disqualified from eating truma, and V'chol Zor teaches us that an oinein may eat truma. Ask the Gemara the obvious question, or Maris, why are we taking the pasuk that excludes and using it for the oral? And take the pasuk that includes and using it for the oinen? Maybe we should do the reverse. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra arelis havele rebuye. It makes more sense to say that the oral is the disqualified person from eating truma. Because the oral has all of these issues. Shekei maisam krusim bedavar ovet. Mechusa maisam. An action has to be done, a bris mila. And that action is ma'is v'gufay. We have to do the bris mila on his body. V'onish karis, and somebody who doesn't have a bris mila is mechuyiv karis, is going to get the onish of karis. V'yeshnoi l'fnei hadibur, The mitzvah bris milah was already even before Aseres HaDibros. Avraham Avinu, we'll discuss that later, mitzvah Shem Dishir, already had that mitzvah. Umila sechara v'avod of makevis. Not only does the person himself have to have a bris milah in order to be allowed to eat Karban Pesach, but all of his sons and all of his avodim also have to have a bris milah. Ask the Gemara, Adrabba, let's think about it the other way. Aninus havale ribuye. Aninus carries certain very specific, unique characteristics. She can yesh the mekal shah. Number one, aninus is always there. A bris milah isn't only once the is only when the child is 8 days old. V'neheges v'anoshim v'anoshim. Aninus applies both to males and females. A woman is also rachman tzlan in avelus if she loses a close relative. Then biyadul saknatzmai. A bris milah, if one is an oral, have a bris and you won't have a problem anymore. However, aninus, if a relative dies, there's nothing you can do about it. Says the Gemara, hanach nefishim. Here, arelus has five characteristics. Aninus has three characteristics. So we just do a very simple count. That proves that arelus is more stringent than aninus. Rav Amar. Rav has a much simpler way of understanding why we apply the pasuk of ish tarelus. B'loi hanach nefishim. Without following this line of reasoning, nami lo matzis amrit, you couldn't explain the psukim otherwise. Because amakra, the pasuk that we use to exclude an error, begins with the words ish ish tamen. Eizu davash yeshna beish veina beisha. So the Torah is talking to males, not to females. What subject only applies to males and not to females? Have a omer zareilus. So obviously the pasuk of ish ish is speaking about a reilus, and by deduction, the other pasuk of chazor that includes somebody who may eat truma is speaking about aninus. So that's how Rav Akiva knows the halacha that an oral may not eat truma. As we said, Rav Elezer learned this halacha from Toshi v'Socher. Ask the Gemara, Rav Akiva, hi Toshi v'Socher, my avidle, what will he learn? What will he do with these words, Toshi v'Socher? Answers the Gemara, Omer Rav Shmaya, Lesuya Ravi Mol, the Gavani Mol. That if you have a guy who had a bris milah, he still will not be allowed to eat the Karban Pesach, even though he had the bris milah. So Rishonim will ask, why do we need to have a limud that a guy who didn't have a bris milah, that had a bris milah, is not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach? Isn't a guy who didn't have bris milah less than a Jew who had a bris milah? But as we began to share, Mishnah Snakru Maisov, Lavish B'Shamayim. So you have a Jew who had a bris milah, but he was Nesnakru Maisov, is not allowed to come Pesach. Certainly a non-Jew. So Rishonim say two interesting terutzim. One terutz says no. A guy didn't do anything wrong, but a Jew who became an apikoros did something wrong. He became an apikoros. So a guy with a bris milah is better a Jew that's an apikoros. That's one interesting teretz. Another interesting teretz, very, very, very interesting teretz, is that the Torah here is speaking to Goyim. We're always used to understanding that the Torah talks to us. Here's the Rishonim say the Torah is talking to Goyim, and telling a guy that if you will eat the Karban Pesach, even though you had a bris milah, the Torah is telling him it's asur. So the Torah needs two psukim, one that talks to Jews and one that talks to Goyim. But it's interesting that those Rishonim explain that the Torah is speaking to Goyim. We always understood the Torah only speaks to Klal Yisrael. There's also interesting machloikis, what is the girsa in the Gemara here? Because it has actually very interesting repercussions, lahalocha. All the Rishonim certainly say that the words Gavaini Mohol belong in the Gemara. The question is about a Ravi Mohol. Because a Gavaini, who's, we know from Canaan, has no obligation to have a bris milah. The question is, an Aravi, do Aravim have a mitzvah to have a bris milah? Why? Because Machloikas Rambam and Rashi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to do a bris for Yitzchak. So Yitzchak, who's our forefather, we all have to do a bris on the 8th day from Yitzchak. After Yitzchak was born, as the Torah tells us, Avram Avinu married Keturah, and there were B'nai Keturah. So the Machlokes Rashi and Rambam, if those children are obligated to have a bris milah, they were born after Yitzchak. Rashi seems to say that not. The Rambam seems to say yes. Says the Shagas Aryeh, we know that the Gemara says in a number of places, Bos San Cherev uBilbel es Kol Olam Kulay. So the whole world was born. We don't know who's who. So every time we see a non-Jew, he may be from the Bnei Keturah. And according to the Rambam, he's obligated to have a bris milah. And we're obligated even to do a mitzvah. So that bris may be a real bris. He doesn't need to come on Pesach. That's not the question. But there is a very interesting shaila, halacha l'maisa. What would be the halacha if you have somebody who's an Aravi, and he had a bris milah, and then he becomes a ger? Does he have to have a bris? As we learned, and we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shema today's shir, part of the conversion process is having a bris milah. So if a goy has a bris milah, that's not a mitzvah. But if the Ravi had a bris milah, and is a mitzvah to him to have a bris milah, perhaps he doesn't have to have another bris milah, which is actually a machloikas rishonim. The rishonim also point out, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem at the end of the shir, that the bris milah of a Jew, the process is different than of a goy. Because we have to have both milah and priya. They only have to have milah. So that's why perhaps they would have to have a bris milah, because they only had the milah, not the priya. Also, obviously, if the bris milah they had was not done by a Jewish shmoyel, then that bris is not a bris, and they would have to have a bris done by, they would have to have a tofestan bris by a real moyel. Ask the Gemara, v'hani mulininhu, can we consider, even if a gevoini has a bris milah, is he considered someone with a bris milah? V'tanan, there's a mishnah masecht in the Dorm. Somebody says, koinim shani nenel arelim. Taisus has the girsa koinim sh'eini nenel arelim. Somebody makes a nether, I will not have any benefit from somebody who's an oral. Says the Mishnah, muta bareli Yisrael, v'asma mula evde kachavim. He's allowed to have a no even from Jews who did not have a bris milah. And on the other hand, even if a non-Jew had a bris milah, he's not allowed to have a no from him. On the other hand, if somebody said, koinim sh'eini nenel lemulim, that I'm not going to have a no from anybody who had a bris milah, then muta bemula evde kachavim, even if there's an evde kachavim that had a bris, he's still considered an oral. Yisrael. He's not allowed to have a no from Israel Yisrael. So we see that a goy is always considered an oral. So if a goy is always considered an oral, why do I need a pasuk to tell us that if he had a bris milah, that bris milah doesn't change his status? So Taisus asks a very fundamental question. We know, the Gemara says it many times in the Masechta Nedarim, the Nedarim holchem achalosh bnei adam. The way to understand what category something fits into in Hilchos Nedarim is what people say. So when people call an oral, they always mean a guy. And when people say mulin, they always mean a Jew. So ask Taisus, how can we bring a raya from Nedarim, where we have this rule of Holcha Achalosh Bnei Adam, to our Gemara, which is who is an oral and who is a mulin? So Taisus says the raya is not from the part of the Mishnah that the Gemara quoted. The raya is from the second part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah quotes a pasuk, ki kol agoyim areilim, v'chol beis Yisrael areili leiv. So the pasuk calls all goyim areilim. And Reb Chaim Brisker says a beautiful pshat. Reb Chaim Brisker says, areilis is not a description that this person is an oral because he didn't have a bris milah. Areilis is a status. And the Torah puts all goyim in the status of areilim. And therefore, it's obvious that we don't need a pasuk to tell us that just because he had a milah, his milah is irrelevant. So we're back to where we started. What is Rabbi Kiva going to do with the pasuk of Toshiv Asachar? Elal Asuye, Ger Shemov Leitavel. It refers to a ger that had a milah but did not have tefillah. That he may not eat the Karban Pesach. So the Rishonim ask a very fundamental question. Rabbi Kiva, as we're going to learn in a minute, obviously holds that until milah and tefillah take place, he's not a ger, he's a goy. So what's the need for a pasuk to teach us about a ger? Shemol v'loy taval. Of course, if he didn't have milah, if he only had milah and not tefillah, he's a goy. So why do I need a pasuk? He's no different than any other goy. So one test the Rishonim give is from where does a Rekiv attack a note that somebody that only had milah and not tefillah is considered a goy? This is where he knows it from. But then I saw a very interesting teretz, another teretz. Even Rabbi Kiva will agree that if you have a ger that only had milah, not tefillah, he's certainly not considered a full-fledged ger, because ger is, according to Rabbi Akiva, the way we hold, requires both milah and tefillah, but he's in a new status. There is a status of someone who is not completely a goy and not completely a Jew. The Zeich Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, seems to compare him somewhat to an Eved Kanani. It's a new status. In fact, the Avdi Nezer says a very bechiddush. We know that the aloch is goy sheshavas chayiv misa. Goy is not allowed to be shomer Shabbos. Says the Avdi Nezer, let's say we'll have a ger, he did milah, but he didn't do the tefillah and become Shabbos. So says the Avdi Nezer, since this person is in this new category, even though he's not, as we just finished explaining, a full-fledged Jew, he will allowed to be shomer Shabbos. And in fact, I even saw a discussion amongst the Achrayim, maybe he would be allowed to make a bris milah. Because we know, as we said a moment ago, someone who didn't have a bris milah is not allowed to make a bris milah. You can't have a non-Jewish male. It could be that if you have somebody who is only a ger, that had milah v'loy tefillah, but his milah was l'shem geiris, he is already enough of a Jew that can make a bris milah on other Jews. And another example, what the pasuk needs to talk about is, katan shenoyel kushumol, the child was already born with a bris milah, the ketzavar, Tzorach lahatif men adam bris. So Akiva holds that even a child that was born with a bris milah still had toughest bris. Blood has to be let out from there. And until that, he's not considered a Jew and would not be allowed to eat the Karm Pesach. And if one had such a servant or son, that would prevent him from eating the Karm Pesach. It's a very interesting Ramah. Fascinating Ramah. The Ramah says as follows. He says, if somebody has a bris milah before Yom HaShmini, before the eighth day, if the bris milah took place by day, you don't have to do Hatavas Tam Bris. But, says the Ramah, if someone, it's already after the eighth day, but the bris milah was done at night, you have to do over Hatavas Tam Bris. So the question is, what's Pshat in the Ramah? So I saw two Pshatim. One Pshat is from the Sefer Emek Yeshua, which is a beautiful Pshat. He says, if a child had a bris milah before the eighth day, so by the time the eighth day comes, he has no arla, because the arla was removed. And he goes a step further. Why does our Gemara say that we have to do a toughest on bris from a child that looks like Adam Mila? Because the Rishonim say there's a concern there's a Mila Kavusha. There's an arla Kavusha. That there's an arla there, but we don't see it. But here we know that there's no arla, because we removed it. So it's not that he's not mechuyev to have a bris. We can't do a bris on somebody who doesn't have arla. On the other hand, someone who is already 8 days old, so he got the shame of an oral. And if he has a bris at night is nothing. So we have to do a tavastam bris. That's Emek Yeshua's pshat. Rav Chaim Briska says a different pshat. He says there are two concepts. There's a concept of mila, and there's a concept of a tavastam bris. And he says that both of them have to be done by day. But there's one difference between Mila and Hatavas Tam Bris. Mila has to be done only after the eighth day. Hatavas Tam Bris can be done any time. So when we have a child who's less than 8 days old, and we do a Mila to this child, we're actually doing two acts. One is an act of Mila, which we did incorrectly, but it's too late. You can't do it over. And it's also an act of Hatavas Tam Bris. And we did it by day. And there is no requirement that Hatavas Tam Bris should only be done after the eighth day. But if we do a milah at night, or according to Rav Chaim Briska, even if we did a Hatavas Tam Bris at night, it's not the time to do milah, and it's also not the time to do a Hatavas Tam Bris. So we do a milah at night, even if it's after the eighth day, so the milah can't be done over. You want to say I accomplished a Hatavas Tam Bris? I can't accomplish a Hatavas Tam Bris at night, because a Hatavas Tam Bris, like a milah, is only allowed to be done by day. That's what Ramah says, that if you did a milah even after the eighth day by night, you have to do a Hatavas Tam Bris again. If you did a milah before the eighth day, according to Chaim's explanation, you have Mekayim Mitzvah's milah, but you Mekayim Mitzvah's Hatavas Tam Bris, and milah we can't help you for anyway. Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar Latame, he doesn't need psukim to teach us these people, because he holds ger shemov lo tovel ger mal yehu, as we learned on daf mem vav. He holds that mila alone is adequate. The kesavan, he also holds katan shenoy le'en tzorach latam men adam bris. So they are allowed to eat karm pesach, and their presence do not prevent their parents or owner from eating karm pesach. Ask the Gemara. Rav Leza, hi, ish, my avdlei. Rav Akiva used ish to teach us that an oral is not allowed to eat truma. Rav Leza learned it from Tayshiva Sachar. So what's he going to use the words ish to teach us? Answers us the Gemara, Dibra Tayra Kolosh B'nei Adam. The Tayra, according to Rav Leza, uses the words ish because that's the way people speak. And I saw a beautiful vart from the Michta Melio. He says, many times we find this concept of Dibra Tayra Kolosh B'nei Adam. He says, what does it mean? He says, the truth is that the Tayra is really Ruchnius. It's above our understanding. We know the depths, the Soidus HaTayra, the Sifrei Tayra, are much deeper than the average or any human mind can really fathom. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be able to relate to the Tayra, so he put it in words that we humans, with our limited abilities, could understand. That's Pshat Dibra Tayra Kolosh B'nei Adam. The Tayra was written in a way that even though it's so esoteric, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it down to our level. Continues the Gemara. By Ram bar Chama, by Ram Chama bar Ukva, Katan Mar Oral Mar Lusoich B'Shalom Shal Truma. We have a child. He's not 8 days old yet. The Aloch is that we're not allowed to shmir Truma, just like an Oral is not allowed to eat Truma. An Oral is not allowed to anoint himself with Truma. So the question is, this child who's not yet 8 days old, may we shmir him with oil of Truma? Do we say Arelis Shleb is Manim Ma'akva or Loi Ma'akva? Do we say that Arelis before 8 days is not considered an Arelis, so there's no problem of using Truma on an Oral? Or he is considered an Oral, and therefore we can't use oil of Truma on him? So there are two ways the Mefarshim explain the Gemara. One way the Rishonim explain is that the Gemara says, M'sechta Yuma, Sicha Kishtiya, that anointing is like drinking, and just like we said an Oral is not allowed to drink Truma, so too he would not allow to be Shmir Truma. Like the Pasuk says, V'tava k'mayim b'kirba k'shem batz ma'isof. But many Rishonim disagree, because they say that that Pasuk is only a smachta, and Sicha Kishti is not Medaraisa. So how do they explain this Gemara? This is a beautiful explanation from the Brisker Rav. He says, the Torah says regarding Truma, V'anihine nosati lechem es mishmeres trumasi. The Torah says that we have an obligation to treat the Truma with a certain level of dignity and respect. And using it in our oral is not dignity. It's not a dignified way of using it. So the Gemara is asking, can we take shemen of Truma and put it on a child who's not 8 days old yet? Is he considered an oral? And therefore it's not a respectful way of using that shemen? Or, since he's not 8 days old, he's not considered an oral, and it's not a chsaron, it's not a problem in respect. Omar Zeir, Toshma, Eli Elam Mila Zacharov B'Shas Asiya. The Pasuk says, V'chiyoge Itchager, V'asa Pesach L'Hashem, Himalai Kal Zachar, V'az Yikrav L'Asayisai. So the Torah teaches us here that before we bring the Karan Pesach, we have to do a Mila on all of our children. V'avoda B'Shas Achila. And the Pasuk says, we're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach until all of our Vodim have a Korban Pesach. How do we know that we're not allowed to make a Korban Pesach until our children and our Vodim have a Bris Milah? And how do we know we're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach until our children and our Vodim have a Korban Pesach, have a Milah? Tamaloyma, Oz L'Gzeri Shavah. So now what the Bryce is essentially telling us is that we can have a situation where the Korban Pesach, when I made it, when I shechted it, I didn't have any problem that all my children in Avodim had a Bris Milah, but by the time the night comes to eat it, I could have an issue. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us. It says the Gemara, Bishlam Avodim Mishkachslo. So by the case of Avodim, we can figure out such a situation. This the Mishas Achila, the less the Mishas Asiyah, how we can have that there is a concern when it comes to eat the Korban Pesach. There was no concern when we shechted the Korban Pesach. Kigoyin does not ninu, beini beini. I brought the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach, 1 PM. I didn't own the servant. Then I brought a servant, and that servant doesn't have a Mila. So when it comes the night, I have an Eved that doesn't have a Mila. Elo, Zecharev is the Mishas Achila. How could I have a situation that my own children, I have a concern that they didn't have a Bris Milah by the time the night came. but there was no problem with left mishas see. There was no problem when I made the carbon. Bris milah is already mechuyev the eighth day in the morning. The carbon pesach is only brought in the afternoon. Heich mishkach slo. It must be, says the Gemara, lav the sial ben asil achila. The case this price is referring to is that I brought a carbon pesach 1 o'clock in the afternoon erev pesach. 2 o'clock, Baruch Hashem, I had a baby boy. So now I have a situation that when I made the Karban Pesach, shechted it, I did not have a child who was an oral. And when I ate the Karban Pesach, I have a child that's an oral. But the child was only a half a day old. So we see, Shema Mino, Arelus Shleibus Mano, have Arelus. So the Gemara, Omer Rav, does that really make sense? But Tizra, Himaloi calls Ocham Rachmano. The Torah says, do the Milo, Vaz Yikrav Loi Soy Soy. And then you can eat and make the Karban Pesach. The Torah can't have any complaint to us for not having a meal on a child that didn't have a chiv to have a bris milah. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, give me a situation how I legitimately had a son, b'shas, I brought the Karban Pesach without a bris milah, and it wasn't a problem, and that night it is a problem. The child was sick. Again, let's say Thursday was Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach in the morning, my child is sick. I bring the Karban Pesach in the afternoon, 1 o'clock. Baruch Hashem, 2 o'clock, the fever breaks. I have to make a bris milah. And if not, at night, when it comes to eat the Karban Pesach, I have a child that doesn't have a bris milah. Ask the Gemara, and as the Rishonim point out, this is all fine if Erev Pesach came out during the week. If Erev Pesach came out on Shabbos, and it's already past the 8th day, then nobody can have a complaint to me because you don't do a meal of Shleibus Manoi on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, if this is the case that the Gemara is referring to, the Nesiv Lei Kol Shiva. The halacha is that if a child has a fever, we have to wait 7 days after the fever breaks to do a bris milah. So in the story that we just described, that the fever broke at 2 o'clock, we don't make the bris milah at 2 o'clock, we have to wait a whole another week. 7 days. Domishmu, Chot Seichamu, when the fever breaks, Noisim Lei Kol Shiva, we wait 7 days. Says the Gemara, Teyavina Lei Kol Shiva. That's exactly the case here. That the 7th day after the fever broke came out on Erev Pesach. Says the Gemara, if it's an Erev Pesach, we're back to where we started. V'namila Mitzafra. We should do the Bris Milah Erev Pesach in the morning, not in the afternoon. Says the Gemara, interesting concept. Be'ine Leis Leis. Even though we know that if a child is born on whatever day of the week, the bris milah is done 8 days later in the morning. And we'll talk about more that you should do it mamish first thing in the morning. By a child whose fever broke, we have to wait 7 times 24. And only then we could do the bris milah. So now let's think it through. The child broke, today's Erev Pesach. Thursday's Erev Pesach. The child's fever broke last Thursday at 2 o'clock. So when is he mechuyev to have a bris milah? Only at 2 o'clock. When do I bring the Karban Pesach? At 1 o'clock. So we have everything figured out. 1 o'clock we bring the Karban Pesach. 2 o'clock we have to do the bris milah. And if we don't do the bris milah, when it comes to eat the Karban Pesach at night, we will not be allowed to eat the Karban Pesach because we have a child that did not have a bris milah. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'tani ludor, yoyim havrosa ki yoyim havoldoi. The day the child gets well is like the day he got born. My love, my yom hivoldoi, lo din emeslais, as we just explained, when we do a bris under regular circumstances, the bris is done first thing in the morning, isn't the same, af yom havrosa, lo din emeslais, and as soon as the 7th day comes, we make the bris, says the Gemara, loy, odif yom havrosa, mi yom hivoldoi. The day gets better from being sick is different than when we count just when the child was born well. Dila Yom Havoldoi, when we count from the day he was born, an irregular, Baruch Hashem, healthy child, Loi Bina Meislais, we don't have to count 7, we don't have to count 24 hours. As soon as the 8th day in the morning comes, we're fine. Dila Yom Havrosoi, Bina Meislais. And therefore, if the child got well last Thursday, 2 o'clock, we will not be able to do the bris till this Thursday, 2 o'clock. In fact, I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Michas Halozer. He says, interesting halacha. So let's say a child was born Shabbos. So we know that our halacha is that if a child is born on Shabbos, we're allowed to do bris milah next week Shabbos. So the child, let's say, was born 9 a.m. Shabbos morning. And he was born with a fever. But by 2, 3 in the afternoon, Baruch Hashem, the fever went away. The Gemara is now telling us that when it comes to do a bris milah from a child who had a fever, we have to wait 7 full 24-hour periods. So when were we only allowed to do the bris? Only from 2, 3 in the afternoon when his fever broke. So if next Shabbos, a bris will be done in the morning, it'll be Chilul Shabbos. Because the bris wasn't allowed to be done. When are we allowed to do a bris on Shabbos? When it's the mitzvah to do the bris. Here there's no mitzvah to do the bris till the afternoon. And therefore, doing the bris earlier is a question of Chilul Shabbos. Although I did see from Shlomo Zalman Orbach a discussion if this halacha that we have to wait these 7 times 24-hour periods, is that a chiv d'oraisa or is it only the rabbanim? The Gemara gives another example. How we can have that the Karban Pesach was brought, shechted, and there was no obligation to do bris milah, and by the night there is an obligation. As the Miri explains, although we just finished explaining that if a child has a fever, we have to wait 7 full 24-hour periods till we do a bris, if there's a lesser sickness, like the Gemara's example, he just has a little eye problem, then as soon as the sickness goes away, we do the bris. And that's what happened. It was Erev Pesach. The child wasn't well, not that seriously ill. So the Karban Pesach was brought. And then Baruch Hashem, he got better. We have to break the bris milah. And if not, we are not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach that night. And this is the basis for Shiloh Ramosha discusses many children. The most common reason why bris milahs get delayed is because the child is yellow. So the question is that considered like a fever? And therefore, you have to wait 7 days from when the fever breaks? Or is it considered like kov le'ene, and as soon as it goes away, we can make the bris milah? Ramosha says that it's not considered, it's considered like kov le'ene. Klaus Megareba held that it was considered like somebody who had a fever. Rav Amma, Rav says a different example. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the Karban Pesach is being brought, the parents are in jail. So since the parents are in jail, they can't do a bris milah. The Karban Pesach can be brought on their behalf by a shliach. But then 2 o'clock, they're let out of jail. So now they can make a bris milah. So since they can make a bris milah, if they didn't, they will not be allowed to eat the Karban Pesach that night.
The baby's in the prison?
Oh, so ask the Mefarshim, the parents are in jail, but the baby's not in jail. So why not do the bris milah? Just like somebody else brought the Karban Pesach for them, let somebody else do the bris milah for them. So the Aruch Sameach explains that the child is in jail too. Ovi v'imoi and the child are all in jail, so they couldn't have anybody do a bris milah. Another pshat, which is really meduyik and Rashi, is the Aruch L'Ner's Teretz, that if a father is able to do a bris milah, he's not allowed to rely on a shliach. So here we're dealing with a father who's a moil, so he could have done his own bris milah, so he can't rely on a shliach. And actually, the Tashbatz takes this concept even a step further. Because the Tashbatz speaks about a very interesting story. He says there was somebody who had a baby boy, and the bris milah was supposed to be on Tisha B'Av. He didn't want to make a bris milah on Tisha B'Av. He said, Tisha B'Av can't have a party. So he didn't want to make a bris milah. He says, I want to make the bris milah the next day. So the Tashbatz, of course, tells him how wrong it is. In fact, the Tashbat says that if somebody does make a bris milah, supposed to make the bris milah on Tishbav if it's the 8th day, but he says that even though Tishbav is Tishbav, we're allowed to spend time already in the afternoon preparing the suud the first night, and certainly the bris milah. But here we have a case where the person didn't. So the question the Tashbat discusses is, don't we have an obligation as Bezdin to make a bris on the child? His father isn't fulfilling his obligation. We're talking in the place where Bezdin has that ability. Says the Tashbat that the only time Bezdin has to step in is where the parent has no intention of making a bris milah. Here we have a father that has every intention of making a bris milah. He wants to make a big party. There, Bezdin doesn't have to step in. Here, that's the same case here. The parents are in jail. It's not that they have no intention to make a bris milah. As soon as they're able to, they gladly will. That's not a case where Bezdin steps in. Ask the Mashah. We know, the Gemara discusses this in a number of places in Masechta Kedushin, that the obligation to break a bris milah is only on a father, not on a mother. So what's the Gemara saying? The mother doesn't make a difference. The only one that counts is the father in making a bris milah. So Mashah says a chiddush. He says that even though as far as Hilchas bris milah is concerned, a mother has no obligation, But there's a new din that just like if somebody if a woman owns slaves, she's not going to be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach unless all her slaves have bris mila. A mother who has a son will not be allowed to make, will not be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if she has a son who doesn't have a bris mila. That's the Mashal's teretz. The Marachar Zeruah has a different teretz. He says when the Gemara, many Mefarshim disagree, when the Gemara Masech the Kedushin says that a mother has no obligation to make a bris mila, it's only when there's a father. But in a case where there is a mother and no father, the mother would have an obligation. And that's why the mother has this obligation in this Gemara. But then I saw that the Mefarshim speak about another situation. What would be the halacha if the child is already an adult? Somebody has a son, never made him a bris mila, but now the child is an adult. Will that child not having bris mila prevent his parents from eating the Korban Pesach? So it's meduyik in a Rambam that it wouldn't. Why? So I saw Rabbi David Pavarsky says a beautiful pshat. He says, when is there a din that if a child didn't have a bris mila, parents are not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach? That's in a situation where the parent is the only one that can make the bris. Once the child is already a gadol, he has his own obligation to make a bris mila. So it's not the parent's obligation. So it's not a situation where the parents didn't fulfill their obligation. This child at least is a partner in that obligation, if not a sole requirer to have that obligation to make a bris. And therefore, if somebody has a child who didn't have a bris mila, but he's already a gadol, then the halach is that his parents would be allowed to eat a Korban Pesach. Rav Kahana, Breda of Nechemya Amar, a different situation where we could have that the Korban Pesach was brought with no obligation to make a bris mila, and before night there is an obligation. The child was born where his erva was covered. We're going to discuss a lot of tumtum and drugness in the coming shiurim. So at that point we didn't know he was a boy or a girl. And then after the Korban Pesach was brought, this area was uncovered, and it was discovered that he's a boy, and if he doesn't have bris mila, his parents can't eat from the Korban Pesach. Asked the Rishonim, if that's the case, so they should have been required to open up that area before the Korban Pesach was brought to see what he is. So some Rishonim say that it's a delicate operation, and not everybody could do it. So that's why it wasn't done. Others say that there's a chiv to do a bris. There's no chiv to open up a tumtum's area. And therefore, as long as it wasn't opened, we don't have to be concerned what is the status there. Rav Shabya Omer, a different teretz. Kigoyin, Shahoitzi Rosh Chutz L'Prozda. What happened was like this. The child, again, our situation is Erev Pesach Thursday. Interesting teretz. The child's head moved out of the womb into the mother's vagina on Thursday. And he lived like that for a week. Now, it's Thursday, a week later. At 1 o'clock, when we bring the Korban Pesach, the child's still inside. And then, the child comes out after the Korban Pesach is brought. But he's already 8 days old, because he was born last Thursday. So we have to make a bris mila right away. And if we won't make a bris mila right away, the parents will not be able to eat the Korban Pesach that night. Ask the Gemara, Michaya, could a child survive for a week this way? Vatanya kimish yotz lavira oilam. Once a child comes out, niftach asosum v'nistam hapasuach. The mouth that was closed while he was in the mother's womb opens. His navel, which was open, closes. Shemolikain, for if that didn't happen, and this is the wonder of childbirth, and yochel lechias afil shachas, he could never survive. So how could he be like that for a week? Answers the Gemara, hachav ma'iskinen, kigoin dezante ishta. He had a fever. And he was sustained by the fever. Ask the Gemara, Ishta the man, exactly who had the fever here? Elam Ishta the day that the child itself had a fever. Yochel kol shiva boy. We just learned that after a child's fever breaks, we have to wait a whole week. Ella, the zanti Ishta the ima. The mother had a fever, and that sustained the child. Viboy seima, hechad loim avye. Rashi explains the Gemara this way, that the child isn't crying during that week. Aval hechad the mavye, if the child is crying, that sustains. Mechichaya. Tosfos explains that even though he's in that situation, he's still ma'ura. He's still connected to his mother, and that's what's nourishing him. So this Gemara is used for a very interesting shaila. Here our Gemara is teaching us that as soon as the child leaves the mother's womb and comes into her vagina, it's considered born. V'horaya, if he actually comes out completely a week later, he's already considered a week old. There's an interesting shaila regarding a petarechem. A bechor, we know, has to be a petarechem. And a very frequent, it's not frequent, but it comes up. Let's say the child was born what's known as a clamp delivery, that he wasn't coming out, and the doctor had to take a clamp to pull him out. Is that considered that he's a petarechem? Because there was a mechitza that was in between him, between the child and the rechem. And it would be a question, is he mechuyif to have a pidyon habed? So our Gemara proves, many paiskim say, that he's considered born as soon as he comes into his mother's vagina. The clamp is only used later. So obviously it's considered born, and he would be mechuyif to have a pidyon habed. All paiskim hold that pidyon habed should be done. Most paiskim, I saw from the Chabina Rav, I saw from the Sharm Tshana Balacha, said that even a pinyon Ben with a bracha should be done with such a birth. Continues the Gemara. Am Rav Yochanan Shem Rabbeinu, Or Makabel Hazah. A person who is an Oral is allowed to have Hazah. We know that Halacha is that if somebody becomes Tamei Meis, we do Hazah. Hazah is that fourth day, in the seventh day, we spritz on him from the Meichatis. She came at Sinma Vaseinu, she kibble Azor Kshena Reilim. They had Azor when they were Reilim. Shnemar. The Pasuk says, Va'am Olum and Ayardain, as they arrived in Etzisrael, with Yeshub Esel Chodesh Arishan. Now, Basar Lamili, on a Sarah of Nisan, they did not yet have a Bris Mila, Shem Chosh Dorcha. Hazor Amos of Luhu, when was Hazor done for them? Lav Kshena Reilim. We had to do Hazor on Yud Nisan, because we're not going to do the first Hazor on Yud Nisan. We'll only do the first Hazor on Yud Aleph. The next Hazor will be Tezvav. It's too late. What were they Tamei from? Say the Rishonim, they were Tamei because their parents died in the Midbar. Everybody died in the Midbar. So they became Tamei when they buried the parents. And they were Tamei from the Mechamas Midyan. Ask the Gemara, Dimalai of a Plesaklal. Perhaps they Taka didn't do Karim Pesach. Says Gemara, Loi Saka Datach. The Ksiva Yasas of Pesach. Ask the Ritva, how could the Gemara have a Havimina? They didn't do Karim Pesach. The Pasuk says it. So says the Ritva, what the Gemara means to say, maybe only those people, that small minority of Jews who had a Bris Mila and were not Tomei, had a Karim Pesach. Says the Gemara, the Yasus of Pesach, everybody did the Pesach. Ask the Gemara, Maskla Mazutra, the Dima Pesach Abba Tomahaya. Maybe that year they brought the Karim Pesach in a state of Tumah. Amalei, Ravashi, that can't be. Because the Pasuk says, Tanya Behedja, Molu V'Tavlu, Vastu Pescheim. First they did the Mila, then they did the Tefillah, and then they did the Pesach. But Tahara, that year they did not rely on Tumah Hutra B'tzibah. I saw the Mefarshim say, why does the Mila have to come before the Tefillah? Because if a person still has the Orla, then the Tefillah is not a full-fledged Tefillah, because the Orla is Chatzitza. So that's why they did Molu, the Tavlu, and then Asu Pescheim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitz, Amar Rav Abba Yitzchak, Amar Rav. L'nitla Prius Mila l'Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu did not have to do Priya. As we know, when a bris is done, there are two parts. There's the chitach, taking off the arla, and then there's the priya, which takes off that thin membrane. That was not done by Avraham Avinu. Shnemar, ba'isihi amar Hashem al Yeshua, asay lecha charev tzurim. Yeshua should do priyum. Ask the Gemara, v'dima, hanach t'loimol. Maybe the pasuk speaking to those who didn't have a mila, and the pasuk saying, make mila. D'ksiv kimulim ha'yu kol ama yoytziv kol ha'yulodim. In came, says the Gemara, so how do we know priya has to be done? In came my shuv. Why did the pasuk say the word shuv? The word shuv comes to teach us priya. Or my shenis. What does the Torah mean with the word shenis? This is why Rashi explains the Gemara. Lakushe soif mila tchilis mila. To teach us the end of the mila has to be similar to the beginning of the mila. Ma tchilis mila ma'akevis. You have to take off the entire orla. Af soif mila ma'akvim. You have to take off all of that small, that thin membrane. The tanan, elein tzitzin ha'ma'akvim. As a mila. Most of the membrane. Then the truma and oral, as we began to share, mainai truma. If he doesn't have all of that membrane removed, he's passed from truma. All that has to be removed that it should be considered that he had a proper bris mila. So mefarshim say a number of fascinating things. The Beis Halevi says, what does mila and priya represent? Mila, he says, represents taking off the mum, making him, as we would say, he's no longer a guy. And Priya makes him into a Jew. And actually, this concept I saw is really already used by the Rishonim. There's a machlokes, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. We know by Bris Mila two brachas are made. One bracha is made, Asher Kishem Tzvano Al Mila. The second bracha, which is said by the father, Lachnis V'Brisa Shel Avram Avinu. Machlokes, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, when is that bracha said? Rashi says that the bracha should be said before the bris, like all brachas are done Yavi Lusiyasun. Rabbeinu Tam says that the bracha is said afterwards. So the Rosh, and that's the Minig, says that we should do it in between, between the Mila and the Priya. So Mefarshim asks, what's shot in the Rosh? So the Aruch HaShulchan asks another question. Where do we ever find that on one mitzvah we make two brachas? So he says, with the answer that we just gave, there are two parts to the Mila. One is the Bris Mila, taking away that mum that we learned on the Amud Aleph, that he's an oral. And the second part is making him a Jew with the Priya. So the Bris of Asher Kishon HaMitzvah Tzvon Ala Mila is maybe for the Bris Mila. And the Bracha, Lachnisoi B'Britzoi Shalav Ramavinu, that I'm making him into a Jew, when is it said? Before the Priya. That's the part that makes him into a Jew. The Taish says that even though it says here that the Mitzvah Priya was only given in the time of Yeshua, Avram Avinu did a Priya also. And the Ben Yoyod explains why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avram Avinu the Mitzvah Priya. So this is a beautiful pshat. We know that the Gemara discusses which is a more worthy Mitzvah. Mitzvah Vaisa, Eina Mitzvah Vaisa. Something I have to do, or something I do voluntarily. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Avram the opportunity to do the Mitzvah in both ways. So he gave him the mitzvah of Mila, and that he was a mitzvah vaisa. He didn't tell him about Priya, so he was a mitzvah vaisa. So Avraham Avinu was able to do the mitzvah with both types of kiyum.
Oh yeah. I think the Rebel North didn't.